We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch.
Yep. It's your other host, your boy, T.O. So get your popcorn ready. This is definitely a show that you want to hear and see.
Yes, sir. Today, we got a little, we're going a little defense today. You know what I'm saying? I know this guy, matter of fact, not just defense, maybe future Hall of Famer, defender type of guy. Asante Samuel from the Philadelphia Eagles, and he won 2 rings with the New England Patriots, 2-time Super Bowl champ and 4-time Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro, once second team All-Pro, and he was 2-time NFL interception co-leader. Asante Samuel's coming to the building today, bro.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Yeah. You know, he gonna speak. You know, he one of them Florida boys, right? You know, he gonna speak his mind. You know, he gonna tell it. You know, he probably gonna give us an opinion on the Hall of Fame. That's what we want to talk about. And and again, kind of want to get into the nuts and bolts of this Patriot way type of thing, because he was there when they first started winning, right? It's different when they won their last one, what, 3-4 years ago, because they've been winning for so long. But he was there at the very beginning. So I can't wait to get his feedback on that as well.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, man, I can't wait to get Santi on here, man, just to shed some light on his career thing that transpired. Man, this guy right here, I mean, just playing against him and just really just understanding and knowing his body of work. I definitely want to get into the fact that he should be in the Hall of Fame. So looking forward to getting this guy on.
Yes, sir. Asante Samuel coming up on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just subscribe. That's all we want. Want you to subscribe. That's all.
That's it. Subscribe, and share. Give us feedback. And obviously, go to YouTube and type in Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. So if you got YouTube, we know we got the audio version of this, but definitely we got this new platform for the Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. So go to YouTube.com and punch in Get Your Popcorn Ready.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. We are not on time today because your man, Mr. Owens, is being late and he going to be docked 5K, ladies and gentlemen. So the first person to call, you get that 5K.
Y'all, you're going to give me an apology too. The next one, I'm going to get an official formal apology once you see that text.
All good. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the building today is our guy Asante Samuel, cornerback, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 4-time Pro Bowler from the Patriots and the Eagles and the Falcons. Welcome to the show, young man.
What's popping?
Oh, I'm going to call him Mr. Pick Six. That's
Pick
what
six
I know.
In the building?
That's what I'm going to call him. I'm not going to call him by his government name. I'm going to call him what they should be calling, Mr. Pick Six, and should be AKA Hall of Famer.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that too.
We're going to get into that, man. What you doing these days today? What you got going on, man?
Man, you know, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, staying out of the way, you know, enjoying the kids, you know.
Yeah. So I know you got to say your junior is at Florida State, playing DB at Florida State. You getting him ready as well to take a shot at the league as well?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, got to get my hands on him a little bit. He up in Dallas right now as we speak, good training. So, you know, he's exciting time. He's excited. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Family's excited.
Good.
So is this so your son? I know Pat. His son played at Alabama. Is this going to be a similar situation where you know you're going to be you know right there rooting right there every day, looking at the TV every time he plays? I know because I went up to Alabama and I saw Patrick Surtain and I actually ran into him at the airport and I saw him and his wife. But is it weird in a sense, you know, having your son, you know, really try to follow in your footsteps? Because, you know, my son, he just now starting to really get into football or what have you. He didn't really have all the experience, like, you know, starting out like as a youngster, you know, wanting to play football throughout. But is it weird or is it a challenge, you know, to have your son really kind of following your footsteps, especially with the success that you've had?
Well, I think, first of all, it's exciting, you know, more than anything. It's exciting. And, you know, it's a way of life now here, you know, in Florida. I mean, you know, if you ain't playing football, you're kind of looking like you kind of weird down here, you know. That shouldn't be the narrative, but that's just how we grow up around here, you know. Right. What I mean? You got to get it how you live. This is our way out, you know, blah, 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 this. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you see our text message stroll, you know what I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, every game, you know, this and that. This why you ain't get this pick, you know, this and that. So it's fun and exciting, but I never realized how much anxiety I had. Oh my Lord.
Freaking
rock on rocks. Like, oh my Lord, I gotta go to the dock and all. Lord, have mercy.
You be on pins and needles watching, huh?
Pins and needles, man. The ball thrown over there, it don't even be thrown at him. It just went his way. Like,
Now, is that all has been always like that, or is that just since he's gotten to college at Florida State?
Well, I think it's more probably more that he got to college. And you know, he started off Little League. He played quarterback. We played the same Little League. I signed him up with the same lot of the Little League Vikings I played. And, you know, funny for him, good for him, he really had no bad plays throughout his whole high school year. Mm-hmm. So it's like he was like almost perfect. So he never even had the chance to deal with adversity or anything like that. So I think that was the main thing that I noticed for him that he didn't even notice. You know what I mean?
So again, with him not really having any bad plays, are you saying him almost being perfect? Was that a sign that you had someone special?
Well, yeah, I think it was that too. I'm not really a biased person, but I looked at it like, okay, my son has the technique before anybody else. You know, if you have the technique down and understand reading the three steps and the move area and all that in high school, the game is going to be much, very easy to you in the high school, you know, especially if you're an athlete. But yeah, it did absolutely show me and tell me like, this kid is special. Mm-hmm. They say I'm the athlete, but he's a better athlete than me. I wasn't like this at his age, you know what I mean? Blase, squaze, so.
When did you start coaching him up though? Like, you know, because a lot of parents and like to listen to this show and they want to give their kids, you know, some pointers and stuff like that. People always like, when is the right time to start coaching them in like those minute details? So again, he got to high school and he was doing NFL stuff because that's what you taught him. But when did you start coaching up the details?
Well, it's like a lifetime thing. It's like it's never one situation. You know, you hear him speaking stuff, you're gonna always hear him say, you know, he want to set his own path and this and that. And, you know, that's great and stuff like that. But it's a lifetime thing. You know, just you getting the instincts. I mean, we've been working out since he came out the womb, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the same type of thing I did. My mama signed me up early for football. I'm 4 years old. He's supposed to be six. I'm crying. Same thing. Him. Sign him up early. He crying, running off. We out there. I got to throw him back out there. You know, I think, but once he got probably 11 and 12 and I started teaching him how to put his foot in the ground and a lot of it on speed and exposing, you know, I think those things kind of help put that foundation in, you know, more advanced than a lot of other kids.
Got it. Yep. Nice. So yes, yeah, so you go. You went to Boyd H. Anderson High School in Fort Lauderdale. And so, like I said, that whole process when you were in high school, you played some quarterback. So you was a true athlete, right? So what was that transition? You played quarterback and DB. Going to college to play DB only, was there a transition there that you wanted to play quarterback, or are you like, okay, I'm always a corner. I just play quarterback because I'm the best athlete on the high school team.
Man, well, I thought I was a quarterback by heart, by nature, by destiny.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell me anything. I was Charlie Ward next. I was Charlie Ward. And funny thing is, you know, I went to all black school and we got this white coach. Long story short is, you know, he was explaining to me, you 5'9", you run a 5 foot, a 5 flat, you're slow. Best thing you do is go to a black college.
Right.
You know, at that time, you know, I'm going to want to transfer. The city's mad at him and he's telling me, you know, get you in college. You got to switch it to DB. Mm. Everybody want to transfer to the rival dealer and then, you know, go talk to old mama.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right, baby. Stay there and work it out. And it's the best decision I ever had. But, you know, playing quarterback, I think it gave me an extra athleticism of rhythm to understand how to go get the ball and when to go get the ball and how to time it up. Mm. All that difference where, you know, a lot of other DBs can't time things up or, you know, different level stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Well, hence the you sitting on all the routes, right? I mean, because you knew.
See, that's the thing. It's not a sit. It's a technique. If you look at every break, I break 3 yards on top of a receiver. You know what I mean? So I never sit on nothing. You know what I mean? I'm reading technique, and that's the difference. If you break my film down and you understand technique, you'll see the big difference. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I never get beat on double moves. They say I do, but you can't. You won't find it.
Can't, it ain't on. Hey, if it ain't on film, it didn't happen.
You won't find it. They just say it. They say he's a gambler. They say this and that. But they just create a narrative that's not true. You can't find it, you know.
Right. Oh man, so that's very insightful. So what do you say to guys? Like you said, is that something that you teach your son? Have you broken that down as to show the difference in you? I guess the shooting, you sitting on routes versus them saying you're sitting on routes, and have you explained the two differences?
Of course. And it's funny you talk about that and you brought it up because this quarantine time was the most time we recently had together. Quarantine time, all those days we was jumping gates, we was getting that work in, and we was going through every phase and every step of the 90 game. You get your eyes back to the receiver now. You know, have always stay high. Never let the receiver get on your cushion so you can break top down, you know, all those things. And yes, it's levels to it, but this was the beginning of it. Now you get to the NFL, you got to get to the other levels of it. You know, you get a little more crispy, everything a little faster, more precise. You know what I mean? So,
you didn't catch that, did you? He said they were jumping gates. See, that's when you know.
That's when you know you're going to get that work.
Right. Hey, that's when you know you committed to getting that work in. And I said he was committed to getting his son, you know, to where he needs to be, man. So, yeah, man, we're talking to Asante Samuel, man. Man, dude, I know just playing against you, I know you've been like one of the just top elite corners in the league throughout the course of your career. I know we're shifting a little bit. We're talking about your son, but I like to get to the elephant in the room.
The popcorn. Oh, no. I had to get to the popcorn, huh?
I'm trying to get to the popcorn, baby.
Exactly. And so I follow you on Instagram a bit, and obviously right now they have the Hall of Fame. You know, the Hall of Fame. They have the selection. The things of that nature, your name hasn't come up. Your name hasn't come up. And for me, going through the process, and we all know about that, I think it's a travesty. Understanding, looking at all your accomplishments. And I saw at one point in time, I think it might have been a year ago, you put up your statistics and Sanders statistics. And then, dude, you have a legitimate case as to why your name should be in the hat. You should have already been on that list to be in the Hall of Fame. What is it going to take? When do you think that they will make, you know, an effort to even just put your name on a list for the Hall of Fame?
Well, let me say, first of all, we know the Hall of Fame is a joke. First of all, we know, as you know, it's a joke. There is no standards for this Hall of Fame.
You already know.
I don't look at it like it's a joke. First of all, what are the standards for to be there? Because any standard you put out there, my name going to be it. I'm the top 10 in pass breakups. I'm top in interceptions. I got the record that Willie Brown, rest in peace, had for most interceptions for touchdowns. And I led the league in interceptions twice with Champ Bailey. With Champ Bailey, I got more interceptions. I got 50 interceptions in 10 years. Willie Brown, it's only like Dick Knight, Train Lane, and my boy who just went in the Hall of Fame, the coach that just went in another one. It's only three of us, you know, four of us that done that. And they all Hall of Famers. So like I said, if you're not putting me in there, who you going to put in there? Right. What cornerback you gonna put in there?
Right.
What cornerback has done something more superior than what I have done? When I was in the league, I led the interception with interception lead for the 5-6 years of interception. Most pass breakups, best passer rating. They was talking about Darrell Revis. Yeah, up to him, but his passer rating wasn't better than mine. You threw the ball my way, it was intercepted 20% of the time. Not caught, not deflected. It was an interception.
Wow.
Chris Collins will tell you, I was feared. I was the only cornerback that was ever feared in my, what you call it? Chris Collins will tell you. They didn't want to publicly talk about it and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
So, yeah, the Hall of Fame is a joke. Until they tell what the standards are, it's a joke. As T.O. should know, it's a joke.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, because you went, those 4 years
trust
in a
me,
row.
Trust me, boy.
Yeah, you went 4 years in a row going to the Pro Bowl.
And you got two real people talking that don't care what nobody think and nobody say. I don't care what nobody got to say.
Hey, boy, you got me over here, boy. I got chills over here. You're just rambling out.
It is what it is, boy.
It is what it is.
Exactly, man, because, again, like you said, what are the standards, the criteria? When you look at your statistics, that's what it should be about. It should be about your body of work. And the Hall of Fame, like I'm calling them out right now. David Baker, all those guys that make up the Hall of Fame, you guys ought to be ashamed of yourself not to have this guy into consideration. Even the writers that make up, you know, that basically ultimately induct guys into the Hall of Fame. The fact that Asante Samuel's name is not even mentioned, and no disrespect to Champ Bailey and any of those guys.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. Not to have Asante Samuel's name in the mix in the last 5 or so years, it's a travesty. And again, like I said, for a lot of people that have witnessed and they witnessed what I went through, everybody criticized and still criticized my decision not to go to the Hall of Fame. This is listening to you is part of why I did it. Because like you said, you talk about the standard, you talk about the criteria. When you break down the film, when you look at your body of work, the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about that. And you, like I said, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Let me cut you off.
This is why, like I said.
Let me cut you off. Sorry. And Dave, what's you say his name? David what?
David Baker.
David Baker. He don't know you people. Know you Hall of Fame. I don't know. Y'all a joke. David Baker, whoever. Y'all a big joke. They need to get some real people in there. Get rid of all you old farts. And some real people that know the real stuff, so stuff could be real. And second thing I want to tell you, Ty Law's a Hall of Famer, right? I
went
to New England, had the best year a cornerback ever had in New England. The same thing. But guess what? When I played cornerback in New England and did all this stuff, he's a system corner. He's a cover two corner. He's this. Mm. Why wasn't Ty Law that stuff? Now when I go to the Patriots, go to the Eagles, I got all these old heads hating on me. He's a system corner. He's going to be this and this and that. They created the narrative for me. I didn't know no better. I just didn't like to talk to the media. I should have probably said something. But David Baker, until you fix this, you a joke, David Baker. And you can call me. You can say whatever you want. You a joke. And I'm glad I know who you are. You a joke, just like that.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that it is more of a personal liking of their criteria more than stats and numbers and what you did in the league?
I think it's the Gil Braden, or whatever, I'm bad with names. He said it on social media the best. It's all about the narrative. It's not about the truth. It's about the narrative. Let me give you an example. Not hating on nobody. Jalen Ramsey, first team All-Pro. Big ups to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you got J.C. Jackson put crazy stats up this year. You got the guy from Green Bay. These guys shouldn't just be that easy, because I've been a victim of that. And Champ will tell you that. Champ went to Pro Bowls and all that, barely played in the season. He tell me, yeah, man, I don't even know why I'm not even supposed to be here. But that's how.
Yeah, players do that a lot.
Once you're a top pick, you get all the media coverage. You get all the hype.
Popularity.
It's the popularity, and that's win. But that it shouldn't be like that for the Hall of Fame.
For the Hall of Fame.
All that, with all that stuff in the Hall of Fame, it's about standards and the criteria. That's what it should be about.
Yeah, and you're right. It's about like the PR person at that team giving that name to the media, say cover this guy, and give him this magazine and this, you know, ESPN coverage. So you're right. It has to do with that just the narrative that the team wants to put out there. But at the same time, it's ridiculous how if you talk to the players, again, players always say, yeah, I didn't do nothing this year. I shouldn't have been into the Pro Bowl. They say that all the time. You know, they have to, the Hall of Fame, David Baker, NFL, whoever, you have to start listening because that narrative is cracked. And it's start the again, in 10 years, you're going to look at this Hall of Fame and it's going to be more names on there. And players going to be like, that's a joke. And the longer that's going to go on, the worse it is for the Hall of Fame. Because as we know, if the players had our own Hall of Fame, which we should be voting, all players should. Play should be voting, that whole list would be different. The whole list would be different.
I guess the voting, the voters that make up the Hall of Fame, I think it's either 46 or 48, but only two of them, maybe it's increased. I don't really keep up with it, but I think it may have added a few more people, what happened, but it was only like two former, you know, athletes that was on that list. Everybody else was media based. And as we all know, like I said, it's a popularity contest. You know, Hat said something interesting. You know, it was a PR thing or what have you. I guess it could be and it could not be. I mean, in a sense, I don't really think for me that it was a PR thing for me. I think they didn't really push me to the forefront to be on this and that. I think which it should have been for you. Your play should have spoken loudly enough that you should have been your own PR. You know,
I think it was a dislike.
You didn't need no PR, really.
I think it was a dislike.
Absolutely. And I was one of those athletes that was very outspoken and people didn't know how to take that. And for whatever reason, I didn't know you to be that type of guy. But for me, like you said, you know, growing up in the South, knowing who you are, being raised and things instilled in you by your parents, that's how we grow up. And so you take that, whatever those upbringings or whatever motivated you, inspired you, you take that and you translate it to the football field. And it was an outlet. I wanted to be the best. You know what I mean? I guess me being the athlete that I was at a young age, I wasn't as good as you guys were. It was something that I always tried to I had to work on and work on. But to have someone like you and you look at your stats and you break it down, dude, it makes no sense. And until those things happen, I will always say that I just got asked a question during an interview the other day. Do I regret it? You know, now it's been a few years that have passed. Would I go back? No, because nothing has changed. And the fact that we're sitting here talking to you with all your statistics, like I said, you're your own spokesperson. I don't really need to break down all those stats. You know that the people that, like you said, you already mentioned too, that it's already that your stats were even better than that. Ty Law, Champ Bailey, the fact that you played on the same with Ty Law, you outplayed him, you outshined him. That speaks volume. That goes into your body of work. That should be taken into consideration. And until those things are changed, I'll never go back. You know? But the fact, this is what's going to happen at some point, because once we put this out, that's going to be my main focus. I'm going to direct the Hall of Fame to this episode. The thumbs up to you, even bring you up for in consideration. Just say you make it. Will you go? Knowing what you've gone through, the fact that you haven't even been, your name hasn't even been brought up.
Yeah.
Will you go? Because I've talked to some other players I've talked to some white players too, that are, I'm talking about a player, some players in position of power. They said to me personally that, yo, that was messed up. Your first ballot. They said, yo, when I'm up and they do me like that, they said, shit, I'm going to do the same thing. And this was a white player that's playing right now.
You definitely, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's definitely a big thought of mine, but it's thing that you said we just alike, right? The one problem I would have, right? My mama passed away, right? All this is for my mom. You feel me? I'm just walking. I'm not even a real person. This is all God did this for my mom. You feel me? So I have to pray so hard, and I would have to feel the energy. You feel me? But if I did go up there, it wouldn't be no regular situation. It's gonna have to be what I want, how I want. I'm coming out there, Sante Samuel, Lauderdale. I'm bringing Lauderdale with me. That's how it's gonna be. That's what it is.
Hey, and I ain't gonna tell no lie, boy. The fact that you just said that, like you said, see, for me, like I said, we're similar in a lot of ways, different as well. So for me, I didn't grow up always wanting to play football. So it wasn't really in my blood. It wasn't in my DNA. Like I said, everything that you've done, your mom inspired, like it was for your mom. I did what I did too for my mom, but I wasn't just so passionate and about football as you were. So again, I like the fact that you would take it in consideration. The fact that you've given thought, okay, if this actually does happen, you're going to have to pray long and hard for that decision to be made. And I honestly respect. And the fact when you do make it, I ain't going to say if, when you do make it and whatever decision you make, boy, that might be the first time that I may go, because I want to see this firsthand. Because I ain't going to tell no lie, because
already.
Because you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You know how I'm going to act.
Like I said, for me, man, it's disrespectful. In a sense, like I said, the first time we're going around, because me and Hatch, you know, when I was getting ready to make my decision, you know, Hatch being a good friend of mine, like, yo, that was one of the guys that I called. He and a couple other people. And he wasn't riding with my decision at first. But then as I broke it down to him as to why, I kind of brought him around and he saw the light as far as, okay, now I understand, and he sees. But now we're sitting here talking to you, man. Like I said, number one, it's a blessing for me to be having you on this show. We appreciate you coming on. But man, like I said, this is a treat. This is a thrill for me. And I want people to understand that this is what football players go through. And me being a Hall of Famer and someone in your caliber, understanding your stats. And I want all our listeners, go look up this guy. Look up this guy.
No, go to YouTube and look at the tape.
I dare you to look it up and compare me to your favorite corner. I dare you.
Right.
Exactly. And you know another thing that's different between me and you, T.O. We stand up people. We don't just fall for anything. You can't just tell us anything. And just, but I don't care about your big organization. I don't care about none of that. That don't mean nothing to me. I'm a Sante Sammy. Care about none of that. You feel me? Yeah. I don't come just because you said this and that. No, y'all better treat me with dignity and respect. You feel me? And that's how it's gonna go. Hey, one thing, I don't be on social media or going crazy, but every team I went to, they'll tell you, don't play with that man.
It wasn't a
game.
Play
with him. Everywhere I went, don't play with him.
It wasn't a game. It was not a game with Asante Samuel. They're talking to the four-time Pro Bowler, two-time World Super Bowl champ. And again, you seem like you like to be motivated, right? When somebody kind of rattles that cage, you ready. Like, open the door, you ready. So in 2003, you were the 16th corner taken, right? Fourth round. Like I say, you for sure didn't care. Like, I'm in the league, I'm a ball, right? But that means there's 15 other corners that are in front of you. Do you remember any type of motivation? Like, this dude, he went here. I know I'm better than him. Give us some of those names
you was doing. Dang.
Already.
I thought I was going to be a first round pick, latest second round pick. Atlanta told me they was going to get me. New England was hot on me. It's still to this day, I want to know if I was a first round pick on their chart. I know I was, but they got me. Mm-hmm. Manning, Terrence Newman, my boy from Chicago, Peanut Tillman, all these people in front of me, you know what I mean? And then, of course, that I'm built like that. I got a chip on my shoulder right now. I keep a chip on my shoulder. I'm built like that, you know what I mean? Right. So, I'm coming into the league, and boom, I'm going to get off. I come to the league with the chip on my shoulder, and we're going to go to work. I go to college with the chip on my shoulder. Start from college, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Well, you know, let's go a little bit deeper, right? That chip didn't start in college. The chip didn't, like you said, didn't start in the league. Where'd that chip come from then?
My dream was to see T.O. so to understand, I wasn't really a big-time football player. I was never a big-time star. Never. I really, like you, I wanted to be a basketball player. I never went to school. I skipped school all day. My mama worked at City Hall, and the park was right across the street. So I never had discipline or nothing. I just played basketball all day. I thought I was going to be the next Jordan, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I don't even know why my mama signed me up for football. She's from Mississippi. You feel me? Right. She moved down here. So, I lost my train of thought. What were you talking about?
And then where'd that chip on your shoulder come from, though?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So,
chip on your shoulder.
I got a dream because I'm skipping school, but now I'm going to my high school, Boyd Anderson, where I want to go because it's my dream. I'm meeting these athletes. They saying they're going to college. They about to do this and that. Yep. So this is where I learned how to do right from wrong. You know, this guy got kicked out of college because of this. And I'm like, oh, you got to get grades to play and all that. I'm like, I ain't never finna do that. When I get, if I have to give me an opportunity, I ain't never doing none of that stuff. These boys are stupid. They idiots to me. You feel me? How you gonna get kicked out of that opportunity? So now,
right.
So now I make it to high school. I'm gonna be the quarterback. That's my dream. You know what I mean? So bum, I get that. Bum, bum, bum. Now I'm trying to get to college. It ain't working out how it's supposed to be. I got like two scholarships. I got one really. Mm-hmm. I got Hofstra, University of Hofstra, New York.
New York
at the time. He recruited me. I don't even know. You know what I mean? So I'm about to go last minute. Coach Cox, UCF, they give me a scholarship.
Yep.
So long story short, I think that's when the chips start. So I go to college. I don't even know why I'm like this. I'm just, but they got Pascal. They doing Pascal. Where they at? They coming to talk to me. They're like, what's up? I'm like, what's up? He's telling me, he introducing himself to me. But I'm from Lauderdale. I think different.
Like, why are you talking to me?
Hey, I'm like, who you? You what? You play safety? I'm going to take your shit, nigga. You got me fucked. You're like, it hit me right there. Like, you ain't gotta act like that. He was like, I'm with you, brother. And that was the perfect meeting I needed right there to ease me up.
What player was that?
His name was Tommy Shavers. He was a church guy, you feel me?
Okay.
But he had a rock for the goals. He from the crib.
Yeah.
So you know, nigga, what you come out of me for? I'm gonna take your shit. You know what I mean? But you know, that's how that chip started.
It was you. You had that you against the world mentality.
Me against the world. I swear to God. You feel me?
Yeah,
I'm coming.
I love it. That's real. But again, because everybody creates that, you know, throughout the process, especially athletes. Again, it's me against the world and, you know, that whole process. But very few people can hang on to that. Obviously, you've hung on to it and it's on your shoulder right now, my guy. I see it right now through the Zoom. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's cool. Like I said, it's got you where you want to go. So again, that type of motivation you need, you must have to get through this life, because we all know how, you know, rough this life is. Like, that's what it is. Like, I'm gonna wake up for something that's bigger than me, right? To prove that point.
That DNA real too, man. Because my son, I be looking at my son like, y'all was telling me that's how I used to act out there.
That was me. Yep, that's all you. Like, that is all you.
Oh. Oh, man, that DNA for real, man.
Yeah, because we played against him, like I said, at the Nike opening. And I remember when he was in high school. And again, he was just walking around like a little bulldog. You know, we had them 6'3s and 6'4s out there. He ain't care. He jamming them all up. You're punching him in the face, trying to choke him out. I'm like, this dude, it's not, because I don't call it attitude. I call that competitive spirit.
Yeah.
No, because he's not like swinging like we in a fight. Like, he's trying to jam, but I all of a sudden, that the heel of your hand went up and got to that neck a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Just aggressive. He's super aggressive.
Super aggressive, you know, but like I said, I like football. We like that for sure.
So let's stay in New England a little bit. So you played there for a number of years. You got a chance to work and you know, defend on a daily basis. One of the guys is going to be playing in Super Bowl 55 this year, and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So what was it like facing him every day? And how did that help your skill set? Because obviously, when you left there, how I was in San Francisco, I felt like once I left San Francisco, I had that foundation and I learned everything that I could. When I went to Philadelphia, I felt like, man, I was on top of the world. I felt like I was unstoppable. So honestly, like I said, he's been coined as one of the greatest of all time. And you playing against and practicing, not playing, but practicing against one of the greatest of all time. Did that enhance, sharpen your skill set playing against guys like that and a guy like Tom Brady? And did you go to him and ask him, did you go to him and even ask him like some of his reads or his techniques as far as what he's seeing the cornerbacks do to really help your game?
Yeah, man. Like you said, if you follow me on social media, you know, Tom was one of the biggest inspirations to me. You know, just to watch him work, want to win, the way he execute, just competing against him. And I think the funny thing about it, it's when I first get there, Ty Law and Tyrone Poole didn't practice at all. So they didn't practice in training camp at all. They just, you know, I don't know the contract, you know how it goes, whatever. So I'm taking all the first team reps. Me and Tom, we going at it blow for blow, down for down. You will hear, you can pull it back up. I think our first preseason game, you'll hear Bill Belichick say, I never seen a guy like this. I never seen a guy with this many interceptions in training camp in my life. You know what I mean? I had like 20, 25 or something like that.
Wow. What?
But we tell you, me and Tom, we was going blow for blow. So the fact that I was going blow for blow with him and he was talking to me as if I was going to be the starter and like, what are you doing to get me? Man, it made me feel like, okay, I'm doing something right. I'm in it. He actually thought I was going to be the starter. You know what I mean?
Right. And when
they, 2 weeks before the game, they put Ty Law in there. And I kind of went up to Tom like, oh, man, starting. Man, I'm thinking he could do something. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, no way. Of course you are. You've been the starter. You know, life went on, you know what I mean? So I didn't understand that he's making $7 million
it's
for the rookie.
The business. Yeah, you're a rookie. It's the business of the NFL. But again, but that goes to show you that's probably why they didn't. We had, you know, Ty Law on the show a couple weeks ago. Let's say shout out Ty. That's our guy. But,
that's my guy.
The organization is saying we have our next Ty Law. We don't have to re-sign him for big money. We go put you on your rookie contract and let you win that.
They not never saying they got their next Ty Law. They never saying they got their next cornerback that they finna sign. You don't know the drummer. You want the drummer live on your show.
Get that popcorn. Like I said, that popcorn, baby.
I'm a real dude. I don't know how to fake it,
man.
Everybody know Belichick tries to hold everybody's career back, incentives. He don't want you to be whatever. So, I'm going through that. I got like 3 interceptions. I got 10 interceptions. I got like 3 interceptions. I'm blowing up. I'm about to go into free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit me on the bench for no reason. Belichick, I can play, blah, blah, blah. So we beefing, you know what I mean? He ain't talking to me. I don't talk to him. We just go around. Because I know what he's doing. I'm ready to leave, right? So you can bench me. I'm going to get whatever I get on free agency. Bump. Chaz Scott, Pittsburgh.
Yep.
He get hurt. This is when he playing Troy Brown at receiver. So he's going to play Chaz Scott, Ellis Hobbs, and Troy Brown.
Troy Brown at the nickel.
At the nickel.
Yeah.
We can look all this stuff up. I ain't gonna lie.
And for everybody, before you go, for everybody that's listening, Troy Brown plays receiver.
Right.
So this is where, so follow his story. Troy Brown plays receiver, but they moved over to the defensive side of the ball to play defense. Go ahead.
Right. So, I'm on the bench. I'm wilding out. So I go to the scout team trying to play receiver because I know that I ain't playing, whatever. I'm just trying to have fun. You take me from over there. You don't even want me to have fun. Whatever. Boom. Thursday, Chaz Scott get hurt. Hip hurt. Guess who they got to call on? Sante Samuel.
Boy. Okay.
So, hey, guess what? He ain't got no choice to stop me. Hey, guess one thing about Zunt, and like T.O. gonna say, God on our side. And you can't stop what God got for us. You feel me?
Okay.
Boy, I was just about to say, hey, see how God works?
Hey, God don't play. Bump. So Chaz Scott get hurt. Bump. I got the start now. So it's me. I don't even remember who the other corner, but it was still Troy Brown.
Right.
So, but he was going to play Troy Brown over me regardless.
Wow.
So, bomb. We play Chicago against Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman?
Yeah, Rex Grossman. Third play of the game, 90 game. Pick.
Your boy.
Remember, I only got three.
Mm-hmm.
Second half. Yeah, when I pick the ball, this is what I do. Call Rodney Harrison. Call anybody. I pick the ball. I run right past Belichick. Everybody screaming for me. I run the ball. You can't stop me. You can't stop me. The whole team. They can't stop what God got for you. Bye, bye, bye. Pick number 2, second quarter. Boom. Pick it again. Run by. You go look it up. You'll see me run right by him. You can't stop me. You can't stop me. Everybody chasing me. God can't stop me. Everybody know I'm a baller. They don't understand what's going on. Why he's doing me like this. You feel me? Bomb. Last play of the game. We losing. I mean, we winning. But they trying to go score to win. I have the most of these, too. The most game-winning picks as a corner, too. You can look that up, too. Wow. I'm talking about not what a game where it's going to keep going. The game pick is over. I got most of them. Go look that up, too. Bomb. Okay. Last play of the game. They trying to win. Post pick. Third 3 picks. I got 6 for the season. This is when I end up with 10. Ooh. Now you can't bitch me. You can't say nothing to me. Now what? Guess what, though? After the season, I'm riding in my car. And it's all thinking. Patriots don't like me. We ain't got nothing to do with each other. Life goes on. Thank God y'all drafted me. I'm happy for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from a block number. It's a block number. Oh, yeah, Sante, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're going to franchise. I swear to God, tears came in my eyes.
Why are you doing me like this? You don't even like me, man.
Right.
Why are you treating me like this, man?
You don't let me go about my business. Why you? You know what? You can't even do nothing. Have Mr. Crab call me. Mm. Another block call. Mr. Crab, what's going on, man? Why you let me go, man? You always been my favorite player. No, they friend time. I'm crying. You know what I mean? Now that ain't the end of it.
Right, right.
I'm holding out. Real one now. Yeah. I don't want to hear nothing from nobody, no advice from my mama. I don't want to hear nothing from nobody. I'm doing what I do, how I do it. Because none of that right. Nice shit, y'all don't understand who we dealing with. I don't want to hear no negotiating. They going to give me what I want or I ain't doing nothing.
Right,
right, right.
They ain't talking about nothing. We ain't doing nothing. Guess what? 2 weeks before the game, I cop on the flight. Nobody don't know. My mama, my agent, tell them this and that. You send them anything. Your ass fired. You out of here. We ain't telling them nothing. Man, somebody getting a little alert. Something like, dang, Sante sent me on the plane. So it's kind of getting out there. But I make it to the stadium. Man, I ain't got no contract now, man. I ain't got no contract.
Right.
Make it to the stadium. First person I see, Tom. Hey, I don't really want to talk to him. I'm out my way. Next person I see, Belichick. You ready to go running condition? Running condition? Man, step in your office. What you talking about, homie? You go talk. You know what, Belichick? Look here. I see you got this franchise for me. You feel me? Either you agree not to franchise me next year, I'm going to fuck this team up. You hear me? That's how this going to go. And I'm going to sign this paper and still get my guaranteed money. Ooh. So you going to agree to this, I'm going to sign this, and life going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
He say, leave out of my office. Had your agent call me at 2 o'clock.
And you was gone.
And we gone and we get it worked out.
And went and got your money.
And we got the franchise. And they agree not to franchise me next year based on like 60%. Boom, it was over. That's how it went. But that's why I got to go through all. And I'm in his office telling him, you know, at the time, he's secretly making like $10 million.
Right.
No reports getting, but we know it. I'm like, you want your money to take care of your family?
You right. Why can't you get mine?
I want to take care of my family. Leave me alone. Like, right. This is how personal I'm getting with him. Like, feel me, dog. Like, mm-hmm. you got a family to take. I got a family. Don't hey, right. I don't know why you deal with other people. You ain't finna deal with me like this, though. You feel me? So,
right.
How the hell is this? Ain't no telling what I might do. I ain't no telling what might happen.
If I go, the whole building is going. Hey, so
I got a whole lot of people depending on this shit.
Right. So you kind of agree with like what goes on, because right. This is back in 2007. You saying this is before this stuff's going on, but like with Deshaun Watson and like NBA players saying I want out and they going to find. So you kind of agree with what's going on right now in sports in 2020.
Ain't nothing the same as dealing with the Patriots. All that other stuff is flimsy flimsy. They can
right. Man, deliver let me
the
see, Patriots man,
a whole this, another issue.
Man, right. I'm glad we're talking to you, because I knew at some point, and you're not the only one. I heard Richard Seymour and all those guys have gone through it. My boy Adelius Thomas, he played over there. It's not as that organization is not as great as it seems. You know,
when it comes to money, when it comes
it's all
to
about time. Let me. Why are you speaking on that, T.O.? It's all about Tom, and that's the only reason they get away with it, you know, just bringing random players in there and able to win and this and that. But the one thing I'm mad at everybody about, because I've been doing this since I've been there. They came out with a newspaper article before a playoff game. I'm telling them they don't treat us right. They treat us like shit. Nobody wanted to speak up then. Mm. But then when we leave, you know, I go to the Philly, and then I see, like, coaches and players and, you know, white players and coaches. And I had to get up out of there. Son, that shit was terrible. Yeah, that was. Why y'all be? We could have did something. Why y'all ain't fighting back with me? You feel me?
Right.
So you know what I mean.
You was the only one on the hill
fighting back. And the big name like Grump has more exposure to it. You know what I mean? So
that locker room is tough, because again, if you're the only one fighting back and you got 52 other dudes, they might be thinking it, but they ain't saying nothing. Yeah, you fighting by yourself.
Yeah, and that's how it was. I was an outcast. You feel me?
Yeah, man. Well, shoot. Hey, like I said, it all worked out. You went to Philly and got 4 Pro Bowls in a row. So that you definitely proved your point. You was balling.
Hey, but I got to give one shout out, man, to my boy. Since we're talking about New England, one shout out to my boy Rashay Caldwell. Rest in peace to my dog, Easy.
All right, P.
When he came to New England, Belichick couldn't handle that. It was like a gambling house. I'm over here gambling. He over there, he's selling shoes from China. They fake Nikes and all kind of stuff. It was like a whole flea market in there, boy. Hey, we had that thing so lit up in there, boy. Y'all wouldn't have believed it, boy.
Yeah, y'all shooting in the locker room? Y'all shooting
in
the locker room?
Right in the locker room. I got all kind of gambling, creative games, dominoes, shooting the ball into the to the garbage can.
Yeah.
I'm in the locker room. As soon as practice over, I run in the locker room, meet everybody. And I'm sitting by the garbage can. What, I make five in a row. How much you want to bet? And you know what I mean? And he got shoes. He's selling shoes. They shooting dice. It was the craziest thing.
Well, he had to got to swat me right now, man.
Right up on it.
Swear to God, ask anybody.
What was the biggest amount you ever seen somebody lose?
Lose? I'm the winner. I win all the money. I don't lose. So, I'm the one winning all the money.
Well, somebody lost. Like,
when Ty Law was there, all right, me and Ty Law was in the Guinness them. You know, we gamble. I'm really the gambler. I want to gamble every day. I got money on my mind every day. You can't tell
all day.
So once they left, you know, I'm the only one really winning the money, want to gamble. You know, so I'm sitting, I'm enticing everybody. I'm leaving out of meetings. Let's gamble. Let's gamble. So, I mean, I hit 15 one day. One time I hit somebody for, was it 60? 60. Ooh. You know that Blu-ray? What is it? Blu-ray?
Blu-ray. Yo, Blu-ray go up quick. That pot in the Blu-ray.
Hey, boy. Quick. I ain't never know how to play that game. That's a scary game right there.
Hey, let me tell you something. Blu-ray, bro, I done had people go out and buy a car the next day. Blu-ray, boy, that game right there is no
joke. Hey, young man.
Hey, in Dallas, bro, I ain't gonna tell you a lie. In Dallas, we played that, bro. The next day, somebody went and bought a Maserati and parked it right in front.
Ooh, yeah, that pot and Blu-ray go up.
Hey, that Blu-ray is no joke.
I believe
that's
it.
Great. No joke, boy. Hey,
well, shoot.
You got to get in where you fit in, though.
Get in where you fit in, baby. Yeah, well, shoot, before we get you out of here, I want to say, give us your top five corners. Like I say, you study the game. You know the game. You know exactly who be doing what. And again, this might not be a numbers thing. So I want to get your perspective on your top five corners. You can be in there as well. It's not one through five. It's just your top
five. Talking about... Oh, forever.
Forever. Yo, forever, ever of top five.
Okay, all top right, all right, mom. You ready for this?
Yeah. Already.
Your all-time top five corners.
Dick Knight, Train Lane go number one.
Okay.
And then I'm number two.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put Dion.
Okay.
And then I kind of got a toss up between Emmett Thomas and Champ Bailey.
Okay.
That was the other one. He got 50 picks in 10 years.
Yeah, Emmett Thomas.
Yeah.
They
just put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna sub it out with them last two, Emmett Thomas and
Champ.
A champ.
Okay. Yeah, dog.
Hey. So who are some of your, while he's processing that, who are some of your or presented challenges for you, some of your top receivers?
See, that's another good subject for me. See, the receiver never mattered to me. It was all, if you had a great quarterback, then you was a great receiver to me. But if you got a quarterback with a slow winding up, I don't care how good your routes is. The better your routes is, the better it's going to make it for me because you're running that thing so crisp. I love to break crisp. That thing coming on time. This is a match made in heaven, baby. You feel me? So you got the people like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. You can't really. And then you got Roethlisberger. Those was my three people that made me the most challenging. Roethlisberger, he could pump fake like that, but still had a ball in his hand.
Yeah.
And there ain't no way to really defend that. You know what I mean? You're going to kind of jump, you know, and get so. It was all about the quarterback for me because I'm reading the quarterback. I'm always keeping leverage to see through the receiver to see the quarterback.
Mm. Right.
That's why.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, it would be Marvin Harrison. Me and him used to go. I say we ended 50-50. We used to go. He caught me young too. So we used to go. But so, I take Peyton Manning off 3 times.
So basically, well, this is the way I heard that, Tay. So if it's me and T.O. and we have Tom Brady, we're the same receiver. That's what I heard. My numbers would be comparable to T.O. if I had Tom Brady. That's all I heard. No, T.O.
One difference.
I don't
One
need
difference. One difference. The difference is whoever faster, I'm going to be scared
That's
of.
Me. That's me. So we there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Right, Asante Samuel just said me.
Damn.
Better NFL receiver than T.O. Done. Hands down. Thank you. That's all we needed to hear today, baby. That's all we needed to hear.
Hey, that's how you end it, huh? That's how you end it, huh?
Hey, we were cool, bro. Yeah.
I owe you one, T.O.
Hey, he only told the truth. That's all. He only told the truth,
my
baby.
God.
Hey, man. Asante, we appreciate you coming on, man. Like I say, sorry for the little delay at the beginning, but like I said, you know, we're coming on here, showing out some love, dog. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
Yeah, man. And what's your son's name, man?
Junior.
Asante. Okay, man. So we wishing him all the best. this. And trust me, just listening to your story, just hearing you today, just your drive, your the people that you used as motivation and inspiration. Honestly, I expect nothing less from Mr. Asante Jr. because what I've heard today is everything that has motivated you, the ups, the downs, the rights, the wrongs, you're going to basically steer him in the right direction to where he'll know how to handle certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you being his father and the relationship and the bond, especially during this pandemic that you guys have been able to share together, I'm guaranteed you're going to be his rock. You're going to be his rock. Just like your mom was for you, you're going to be that for him. So I wish you both nothing but ultimate love and success. I'm looking forward to watching him rock, watching him play at the next level. And man, you have done a great job with your son. And like I said, I can't say enough but commend you and who you are as a person. You're a stand-up guy. And I'm glad we had a platform today for you to share your stories. And we hope, honestly, that our listeners, like I said, our motto is we think it. If you think it, we're going to say it. But this is something that you knew you lived, throughout the course of your career, and you've been a stand-up guy. So again, we wish nothing but success to your son that's at Florida State, and obviously he's going to be at the next level. So we're looking for him, man, and all the best to you. We appreciate you coming on the Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Because, man, today, oh, my God. Well, I almost opened this bottle of wine on this.
Hey, y'all want to hear something funny? This is why I don't talk so much, because when I talk, I can't hold shit back. So that's why I just shut myself up and just sit in the room. Right?
Hey, it's good, though. This is good information, man, because like I said, your son is going to watch this. There are going to be other parents, dads that have watched this. Yep. And again, you basically have shared really kind of what people really don't know what goes on, like I said, in contract negotiations. People don't know that, bro, you guys, we worked hard for what we want, man, and for what we're trying to get.
It's your money.
Like I said, right. What we're going through, when you talk about what we're going on in the world right now, the systemic racism, bro, that's what you experienced. But nobody don't want to talk about that. And the fact that you had, like I said, to share that experience, you taking me through that whole series of you going 2 weeks before the season, going to meetings, you seeing Tom Brady, you're like, I don't want to talk to him. I want to see Mr. Kraft going in the road. You walked me right into his office, bro. And like I said, when you were sitting in there like this right here, like, look, man, look, what we're going to do? If you're going to franchise me, we're going to do this. This is going to happen, whatever. Just to go through that process, man, people don't understand. That's our livelihood. And a lot of fans out here, like, oh, well, he's making this type of money, bro. Won't he just shut up and say this? But bro, everybody we don't walk the same life. You know what I mean? And the way that you described that, man, like I said, it was refreshing to hear. I think our fans are going to love, our listeners are going to love listening and seeing what it is on a daily basis and what we as athletes go through. And I think, and I hope that the fact that you said when you left New England and then you start hearing all these players say, oh man, it was hell over there. And I've heard it too. Why didn't we just band together? That's the same thing going on in the NFL now. When you think about the NFL, it's made of a 70%+ of brown and black players. And these owners have these players thinking that we need them. Right. They need us in order for that league, for the NFL to survive. And until they get together, band together, and understand the power and the leverage that they have, it's just like the election this year. Look at how many black people came out and voted and changed the world. They even changed the black vote, changed some states from red to blue. So that's the same scenario in football. Band together and get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it is. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, ain't no bad number of love and respect for you, brother. I've always watched this.
I appreciate it, man. And trust me, it was a joy playing against you, man. And again, like I said, you've always been one of those top corners. Like I said, we know who the top corners are. Just like when you guys do your defensive schemes and defensive tendencies, and you have upcoming games, you know who the top receivers are. Trust me, your name, like I said, bro, your stats speak for itself. I guarantee you, if you just put stats and no names,
I would be a Hall of Famer. Like he
exactly.
just
put every
stat.
Yes, sir.
Take the names off and put the stats by all the greats that are all the DBs and the corners that are the cornerbacks that are in the Hall of Fame right now. Take the names off.
No, forget the Hall of Fame.
I guarantee
it's in the NFL. Forget the Hall of Fame. It's who's in the NFL. Take them names off the back of jerseys, the guys in the the NFL, it's a whole different game for sure.
Hey man, but like I said, I'm strongly considering it. You mess around and get in that when you get in that Hall of Fame, that might be the first time that
Hey, after I pray, I'm calling to consult with you.
No doubt.
There it is. You heard it first here on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast with Asante Sammy. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, y'all boys bees.
Already. Right, peace.
Good looking out. Appreciate
you. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we keep it real on GPR, baby.
Man, let me tell you something.
That's how you keep it real.
You've joked a couple of times about, you know, thinking I'm drinking early in the morning after this show right here. Whoa, I might have to crack open this bottle right here. This
bottle, that little
vino right here, boy. Hey, dog, man.
Hey, Asante, we appreciate you coming on, keeping it real with us. Again, like I said, we're always trying to make sure that the narrative out there regarding special professional athletes is not all what you guys have heard in the last 20 to 30 years, right? There's things that go on in professional sports. Well, we want it to come straight from the players' ears to you guys, to the fans, from the players' mouths to the fans' ears. We want you guys to hear it. And he kept it real for us today. And we appreciate that. And again, this is what goes on in our business.
Yeah, and I think what's so unique and so good about us, I mean, part of our mantra, the Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast, you know, is that, you know, from me and myself and Hatch, you know, we'll tell you, you know, if we think it, we're going to say it. And as Hatch said, it gives it a different feel when it comes from the actual people themselves. So as Hatch said, you know, we're not hearing it from his ears, but we're hearing it from their mouths. But all jokes aside, now this was really refreshing for us to have him on, because again, it's one thing to kind of hear it from someone else and people to kind of maybe piggyback, and then they're listening to hearing stories, and then you kind of persuaded to say this or that, but there's no persuasion when it's coming from the horse's mouth. And honestly, to have him on, he was the best guest for Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Cause you honestly, me listening to him, I almost went off set for a couple of times and went to go pop me some popcorn because he had it popping up in here today.
Hey, yeah, Tay, you might need to be a storyteller, because yeah, I was paying attention. I was turning the pages as was talking, like I was reading a good book or a good script, you know what I'm saying? So again, we appreciate him coming on. Let's get into his three and out, which again, we talk about three things that we're taking away from the show that we want to kind of pinpoint and share to the audience.
Man, and he has so much. I mean, usually we're kind of grasping for straws, trying to figure okay, let's see what three things stood out. Man, there were so many things that we could highlight in this three and out section, that we kind of just a summation of the entire podcast. But he gave us so much content that, like I said, it was hard to choose. We should have added like a six and out, you know, we should have added an inning or something. But yeah, I think, you know, number one to start it off, I think it was that when he was in college. Before he went to college, he basically said he had this white coach that, you know, saw him, saw his color of his skin, he assessed his height, and he goes, yo, you're not going to be able to play quarterback at that height, and you're a black kid. He said, if you're going to go play, your best chances of playing will probably be at a black college. Again, this is something, again, we ain't making up, people. You heard it from the man himself. So this is something, again, for a lot of people that are wondering why, again, we're so callous, and we have so much, we play with so much passion and sometimes aggression. Things that we've heard growing up is what triggers and what makes us who we are. And again, that was one of those things, because I think, again, I've never really experienced or had anybody say anything like that to me. But again, as a kid out of high school, that has to be discouraging for someone to say, okay, you can't do this because of this.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to someone, again, I went to Langston University, a black college, and I played quarterback when I got there. So that path is like, yeah, it's different if somebody's telling you that's the only thing you can do, or if they're telling you, this is, you know, this is your only option. Like, no, I have more options. And of course, he showed that he had more options. He went to a major Division I school, UCF, then made it to the league from there. So I'm glad he didn't take that advice. And he kind of did his own thing. And of course, it all ended up with him having a very successful NFL career.
Yeah, yeah. And unlike him, maybe you should have, taken that advice, because obviously it didn't work out for you.
Hey, you didn't play. Hey, I could have played corner, safety, receiver, quarterback. I could have played any skill position because I was that athletic. Unlike you, who was pigeonholed, and somebody must have told you can only play one position, so you worked at receiver. So that's the difference between me and you. I'm the better athlete. You are a better receiver. Whatever.
Well, we see how that worked out for you, and we see how it worked out for me. On to number two.
Let me see. The second one
for contract.
The Belichick contract. So again, ladies and gentlemen, right? You all heard about the agent went and spoke to the general manager, and then, well, he didn't like it. Maybe the owner called the agent, right? Those things do happen. And they also happen where the player goes into the head coach's office and sits down and like, yo, what's up? This is how we go get down. And things like that do come into fruition. I think a lot of that stuff is going on now, and I think people aren't surprised. But to do this back in 06, 07, that was unheard of. I've never heard of a player doing that back then. So I'm very impressed with his confidence, number one, in himself. And, of course, the balls he had to go do that in our eyes to the Bill Belichick of the NFL.
Right. And you think about what Deshaun Watson is doing right now, and it's playing out obviously in the media. This is something that he did back, was that 06, 07.
Yeah.
This wasn't played out in the media. It was obviously behind closed doors. He got, I guess, the result that he wanted or he needed. Otherwise, like I said, it was going to be a rough year.
He made that clear.
Very clear. So whatever negotiating tactic he used, it obviously worked. And I think we're seeing that, obviously, to be serious, you know, what's playing out with Deshaun Watson and him wanting to get out of Houston. Obviously, we know that there's been a lot of turmoil kind of brewing over there over the last few years or so, obviously with the release of DeAndre Hopkins. And then you see white players coming out like J.J. Watt. You know, they're reconsidering, you know, their position, their stay in Houston. And so Deshaun Watson, obviously, that situation is toxic. He feels that he can't really be who he needs to be and flourish at the quarterback position on how he wants to do so. Now you're seeing everything that's being played out now publicly. Guys are really using their leverage. They're using their voices to really, you know, handle their livelihood. And that's what Asante did. He basically said, look, man, this is for my family. This is my livelihood, you know. And he put it on – he basically – had a personal aspect and direction to his negotiation. He's like, look, you make this amount of money because you're trying to help your family. This is how you feed your family. Me playing football, Mr. Bill Belichick, this is how I feed my family. I need you to see and understand what I'm going through. And I think that was very refreshing to hear that he even, like I said, it may have been an aggressive tactic, but he basically dialed it down a bit to make him understand really that the reason behind his madness.
Absolutely. And it worked. And they said that Bill Belichick went on and won Super Bowls, and Asante went and got three more Pro Bowls. He was balling. Absolutely.
Right. Right.
And so a third thing, or three and out, I think was, again, when he came in as a rookie, but was balling, right? So again, he was in there, he said he was getting picks after picks in practice, probably ended up at 20 to 25 picks in a training camp. And again, everybody knows our training camps are like 6-7 weeks, but that's a whole lot of picks in practice. And again, for him to go do that, and I'm sure, you know, in the back of his mind, like, I'm balling, I'm starting. And then to get to week one, and like, Ty Law comes over here, sit down, young fella, let me go ahead and show you how this is done. I'm sure it didn't stop him from growing as a DB, obviously, or as a player. But again, it gave him a different perspective on what the NFL was about.
I mean, if you think about that, you were saying he had like 20 to 25, you know, picks in practice. Just, you got to think about this. I think when I hear that, and then I really think about who he was getting picks against.
That's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. GOAT, except for mine, Tom Brady. So, again, you got to think about, when you talk about, you hear the scripture about iron sharpening iron.
Yep.
That's what this scenario reminds me of, because I'm sure, you know, Tom Brady, obviously he took a lot from him throwing against him, reading against him in practices. Mm-hmm. And again, you think about what that did to his game, you know, as well. Tom is obviously talented, but again, to go against somebody like him, especially as a rookie, and him playing well beyond rookie years, I'm sure it had to be a little bit humbling for Tom. Dobbs, like I said, I don't know what percentage of the interceptions that he had against Tom, but the fact that he something he had 25, oh man, that's
And let me give you all another perspective on an NFL practice. We'll have, let's say, 15 plays of Pascal. From the offensive point of view, out of those 15 plays on Pascal, we complete normally 14 to 13. We're completing almost every play.
It's scripted
and we're completing because that's what we're supposed to do, right? We get the one-on-ones, the ball is probably completed to the receiver 90% of the time because of the spacing and, you know, it's one-on-ones. Right. And then team is the same way. It's scripted. So out of 20 plays of team, that's 8 to 10 are passes, and I'd say, again, 90% of those are completed to the receiver. So for him to come in and have that many interceptions, it's truly amazing. So he was doing his thing as a young puppy, sure. So,
but, man, we appreciate Santi, man, just keeping it a buck, like they say.
Already.
It was no cap. Like they say, he kept it 100. He kept it real. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to our podcast. Not only is it because of my handsome face, but it's because of the content. Yeah. It's because of the content that we're bringing everybody. And we appreciate everybody honestly tuning in. But we want to bring you more guests, you know, like Asante. Not all of them going to be that way. They're not going to be as colorful. But this is refreshing. This is what why we wanted to do this podcast, because we want to give our viewers and the listeners and the fans, you know, an inside look of what it's like to be a football player. Like I said, all our guests aren't athletes or what have you, but these are some of the behind the scenes that you never really get to hear about or you get to see. So it was very, 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 very refreshing, you know, for Asante to come on and really just share, you know, kind of what his career was like. And for me, I'm like you, Hatch. You know, I'm in awe. You know what I mean? I'm kind of pulling myself. Closer to the screen. I'm like, man, this is juicy.
This story is getting good, right?
Yeah.
Already. Yeah, we appreciate you, brother. Again, 2-time Super Bowl champ, 4-time Pro Bowler, Asante Samuel.
I'm dead serious. If he goes, man, that's something, like I said, people told me to do the same thing, and I took it upon myself, too. I didn't need somebody to tell me about it, but that was the advice that you and other guys that get it, man, pray about it, you know, pray on it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe you have a change of heart. You know, Doug, you know, along with yourself, you know, he was one of the guys that I talked to before making my ultimate decision not to go. He goes, man, just think about it. And so, like I said, I do remember our conversation, and, you know, like I said, you weren't in agreement with it. And so I tried to take a lot of that into consideration, understanding. I'm like, okay, let me take my feelings out of it. Let me take my insight, my point of view, and hear what you guys had to say. And then, like I said, I did pray about it, and I did think about my family. And that's what really motivated my family, motivated my decision even more, because I knew, like I said, I talked to my brother. I knew me growing up and understanding what I did to become the player that I did. And honestly, it had nothing to do with the writers. And now they hold my fate in their hands or on their pen, that's what did it for me. So it was like, okay, I'm going to do me. I've done it this way all along. I didn't really have the media, and they were never an influence on what I did on the football field. So at the end of the day, this is something that God has blessed me with. And so I hope, you know, Asante hears this and he literally takes this to heart and basically, like I said, pray on it. He said he's going to consult with me, and that's what I'm going to share with him. Whatever his heart and God leads him to do, that's what he should do. But at the end of the day, it's going to be ultimately his decision. And a lot of people that come at me, they're like, oh my gosh, you missed a chance of a lifetime. You missed an opportunity. And what my response is always being, Hatch, been, you can't miss what you've never experienced. You can't miss what you've never experienced. So I've never been there, so it's not like I missed anything. If anything, they missed out on an opportunity for me to share my story with the world, but I shared it with the people that I love most and the people that really followed in my career.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That could be Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Tune in, subscribe, hit that subscribe button, show us some love.
Yep, yep. And like I said, this is new for us. It's new for you guys. Go to youtube.com, type in Get Your Popcorn Ready or Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast to see the video version of this.
Yee.
Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.